This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What's up, everyone? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it's undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering the Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. And a big thanks to DashDAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash, Dash.org. Well, last week, there was this uproar over this alleged hospital bombing in Gaza. And we're not going to talk to you about that live tonight, but the day after that, of course, there was a lot of confusion the night of. I thought we were about to go into World War III immediately, and of course, sorry for any innocents that were killed, but a lot of media organizations just ran with the narrative, spewed Hamas's propaganda, and there were a lot of protests and riots as a result, and a lot of people likely will never know what the actual truth of the matter is. I wanted to play for you what our reaction was the morning after in determining what actually happened. This is how you should do it. I am pumped today. I know one thing I'm going to listen to today, though, is going to be Ben Shapiro's episode later on. Because the events from yesterday and overnight and this morning are going to be fun to hear him go off about. I think it's going to be interesting.
I'm still trying to figure out what happened.
I know. I'm going to tell you what happened.
Yesterday, I was not privy to any news. I wasn't on X. That's been my life lately.
I saw it first on X, people posting about it. And I was like, well, I'm going to go watch the news. And so I was scrolling through, just rotating through different news channels. And it's funny, if you can always watch BBC America pretty much, because Fox and CNN will have basically the same diabetes medication commercial playing for like 8 minutes between segments. And so you can have time to go look at other news channels during that time. And BBC is almost, I think, like never on commercial pretty much, which leads to a lot of people coming on and saying dumb things. That's the problem with the news these days. You know, it's 24-hour news cycle. And I liked it better when it was half a hour for the news cycle, but now it's 24 hours, which means that they got to talk about stuff all the time. Well, let's talk about this hospital bombing. Now, I will start with the story. Here's the story that I saw on X to begin with yesterday, and then I heard parroted on the news for hours and hours, and I watched quite a bit of news yesterday. The story was that there was a bomb, a missile, hit a hospital in Gaza, which was not only a place where people were going that were sick and injured and getting taken care of, but also a place where people were seeking refuge because they thought it was a safe place to go. And there were upwards of 5,000 people at this hospital. And immediately after this bombing takes place, the number that is sent out right afterwards from Palestine, or Hamas, as it's known, because that's their government, the number that's thrown out is that there are 500 dead Palestinians, including doctors and kids and different patients at the hospital. And that's terrible. Do you agree that bombing a hospital is awful? I don't like it.
This is from Rashida Tlaib, too.
Yeah, so this is a good example of what you saw going around on Twitter X yesterday. Israel just bombed the Baptist hospital killing 500 Palestinians, doctors, children, patients, just like that. POTUS thinks this is, POTUS, this is what happens when you refuse to facilitate a ceasefire and help de-escalate. Your war and destruction-only approach has opened my eyes, and many Palestinian Americans and Muslim Americans like me, we will remember where you stood. And so you can scroll through tons and tons of posts on Twitter. You can watch the news at this time and just see everyone very, very angry about this bombing that took place. I thought that World War III was officially about to start because this at least seemed confirmed that this hospital was hit by a missile and that all these people died. I assumed the death toll was a whole lot higher than 500, that was just their initial estimates, but that they were going to find that more people were in fact killed by this. I was watching BBC. They had an eyewitness account of this attack on the hospital.
Whoa.
This eyewitness who BBC played multiple times throughout the night after doing the initial interview said that there was a F-16 flyover. He said it was an F-16 or an F-35. Does Israel have F-35s?
They probably do.
Okay, so it was F-16 or an F-35 is what he said, went over and dropped two missiles or bombs on this hospital. He said he saw two attacks on the hospital, two missiles come down and hit it. Okay, and so this was replayed over and over again. And, of course,
saw it with his own two eyes.
Saw it. He was there. He was across from the grounds. He saw that this happened, and oh, the humanity and the devastation. Now, people died, okay? That did happen, and it's terrible, and we don't like it when people die, okay? But you do kind of have to dig in just a little bit deeper. Now, there were videos going on all over the place, and, I mean, this is serious. Allegedly,
but hang on real quick before we move on. Just what she said here, I think, is important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the end here, she said, your war and destruction. She's calling out the president for not de-escalating and all this stuff. But she's saying your war and destruction only approach.
War and destruction only should be hyphenated. Yes. Those are all the same.
War and destruction only approach has opened my eyes, and many Palestinian Americans and Muslim Americans like me, we will remember where you stood.
Now, he does kind of have a war and destruction-only approach. I mean, been unwilling to, say, talk with Russia and try to talk this thing out when it comes to Ukraine. And I mean, she's not entirely wrong about the president, any president's general approach when it comes to war. So I wouldn't...
But the whole we will remember where you stood thing.
Yeah.
This is what we talked about, what we've been talking about, like... You cut the head off one terrorist, you create seven more.
Mm-hmm. I even heard someone on Fox News earlier say that Israel knows that every time you kill one terrorist, you create 10 more. Was the number that he said out there. So with inflation, that's what have you devalued the terrorist.
And then the live group, I have the same question. They want to know how it's Trump's fault.
Oh, it's all Trump's fault.
Yeah.
We know that. Yes.
Okay.
Now, then you also had stuff like this. Let me go to Scott Horton's page. I'll go to Scott Horton. Now, Scott Horton actually did a good job on this. He just asked if some Iraq and Afghan vets would chime in. This is a post that says the hospital was hit with a very high probability by a JDAM bomb. This means it was the Israeli Air Force. This means it was a targeted attack. And what they're using to prove this is this video of the attack. Now, I will say the sound in the video sounds a lot closer to a really big bomb coming through, which makes me question the video itself. The thing is, like, you don't know what to believe in these scenarios. Any of these videos can be old. You have no idea what date the video was actually taken. You don't even know that it was actually a video from Gaza or a video from Israel.
Yeah.
And that's why you should always wait.
That's why you should only trust videos that come from the Ministry of Truth.
That's it. Which is why we need a Ministry of Truth, and I'm upset that Biden didn't go through with that.
Yeah.
So here's people comparing Hamas.
The thing is, you have to take in all this information and try to discern it and ask good questions like Scott Horton did.
They're comparing Hamas missile sounds and JDAM sounds and the video that was allegedly from yesterday. I don't know. This is a JDAM. And then here is... is from last night or yesterday in Gaza. There's a hospital. Okay, so those two things sound similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very similar whistle to them. You mash them up, they could be the same note as they come in, same frequency as they come in. I'm not sure. I don't know if the video could have been doctored, if it was real and this missile happened to be bigger, coming in faster, whatever it was. But at least a guy like Scott Horton, who is no ally of Israel, okay, at all, was just asking people to chime in on this.
You know what I think about when I see stuff like this is like, it's 2023. We're still blowing things up.
Yeah,
like we're at war.
It's very low tech.
I mean, we're not, I guess, technically we probably have people there, but it's so wild to me because we live in this bubble, as you talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, we walk the streets or drive our cars and no one's listening for those whistle sounds.
Like, no, that's not a thing.
You know, it's not a thing here.
Now, here's a video from Al Jazeera. They were recording at the time, and this is a video I started seeing going around. And we're not going to understand, I think, anything from this, but
unless you speak Arabic.
But what you see is a rocket or a missile being launched from Gaza. And looks like it misfires. Something happens up there. I don't know if it got hit by an Iron Dome thing or whatever it was, but anyway, something happens. It comes down, and then there's the explosion at the hospital down there. So this is also interesting. So last night, I was thinking, well, the big question is going to be who killed all of these people at the hospital? Who destroyed this hospital? This is still terrible, regardless. And it is terrible. I mean, people died, and I'm sure some of them were innocent, you know. So it's still bad. But who was it? You know, are we going to debate this video from Al Jazeera? Or is it going to be, you know, Israel's going to release some things? Does that mean that we're not going to trust what Israel releases? Because I don't trust them any more than I really... I mean, I trust them more than I trust Hamas, I guess, because I don't know. I mean, I think we could clearly say that they're more trustworthy, at least to somewhat degree, than Hamas would be, right? But Israel released this alleged recording that they have between two Hamas operatives. And now them, even when Israel releases something like this, you've got to ask yourself, just because they posted this thing and it's an alleged conversation between a Hamas operative number one and number two, and they're putting it out and there's subtitles at the bottom. I break it all the way down to, well, I don't even speak the language. So first off, I don't even trust the subtitles. Okay. Like, that's how far down I'll go with it.
Yeah.
And then second, I don't know where this recording came from. Could have been a couple actors that they had record this last night.
And they got it out this fast?
You know? Yeah, I don't know. But here, so, but this is what they put out. They have a recording of two Hamas operatives talking. I'm telling you, this is the first time that we see a missile like this falling. And so that's why we are saying it belongs to the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. What? They are saying it belongs to Palestinian Islamic Jihad. It's from us? It looks like it? Who says this? They are saying that the shrapnel from the missile is local shrapnel and not like Israeli shrapnel. Who's they? What are you saying? They're not telling you his name.
It's anonymous.
Yeah. But God bless, it couldn't have found another place to explode. Never mind, yes. They shot it from the cemetery behind the hospital. What? They shot it coming from the cemetery behind the hospital, and it misfired and fell on them. There's a cemetery behind the hospital, and now they just talk back and forth about how this guy didn't know there was a cemetery behind the hospital.
Like, me neither.
This is the first time knowing I'm hearing of this. There's a cemetery. Now he's giving them directions to where the cemetery is.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, I remember now.
That cemetery, yeah, I remember that one. So anyway, the end of the video kind of sounds...
now I guess, I mean, this is coming from the IDF, so I'm guessing they probably have tapped some people's cell phones, but how do we know that, you know, how how do we know that these are actual?
The sound from the video, if you believe that that video is real and that it hasn't been doctored and that people haven't just taken the sound from a JDAM video and put it in the sound of that video, sounds like one of those JDAM videos I saw. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't even know for sure that that was a JDAM in the other JDAM videos because I didn't verify the missile before it was fired in the thing.
Yeah.
And this is how I
don't know damn about JDAM.
This is how I actually approach situations when I'm seeing stuff on Twitter. And it seems like that's how people should approach things because you never really know what's going on. But all these people out here know what's going on because there are supposedly protests I'm not supposedly. You turn on the news and there's protests at all of these embassies, in our embassy in Lebanon. And here's an interesting thing. I saw this and said, the crowds rushing to the Israeli embassy. I'm like, this is taken during rush hour. Like, I don't know. Is this a crowd rushing towards the Israeli embassy somewhere? Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe a concert just let out somewhere.
I don't know.
It looks mostly peaceful.
So far, it does.
Yeah.
But there's protests going on . Insurrections happening at a gate that says police. And so basically the idea is that there were immediately protests and riots starting in the West Bank because of this bombing of the hospital, which it was Israel that bombed the hospital, according to Hamas, according to Gaza, according to their authorities. And I'll just say, okay, I don't know exactly where it came from. I'm no musicians. I mean, I'm a musicians expert, but I'm no munitions expert,
yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
I should write a song about that. Scott Horton, to his credit, says, still many conflicting claims and no consensus here. This is responding to his tweet about getting Iraq and Afghan vets to chime in. Seems like the specific claims about a falling rocket are credible, but such a huge explosion. Looks like a strike to vets who called them in, but it was all fiery and red. Fuel exploding, maybe, rather than high explosives. So
was there fuel or other bombs or things in the basement of this hospital?
Well,
which is where Hamas has been keeping.
So then I go like, okay, maybe this rocket came down. Super unlucky, by the way. It's one thing to have a misfiring rocket. It's another for it to hit a very valuable target for Israel when it comes down.
Right.
Okay. So then I start conflicting again in my mind when I'm trying to figure that out. Let's get on to more of what happened. So, this is what I didn't expect this morning fully, and it's the fact that the hospital's still there and it was just a bomb that landed in the parking lot and destroyed some cars, and that's what was on fire.
So the hospital's
still there.
Fine.
Yeah. The hospital's still...
I'm sure some people might have been hurt.
There are probably people in the parking lot because they said that there were like 5,000 people at the hospital, a bunch of them taking refuge there because they assumed it was a safe place that wasn't going to get bombed. So you can look at this video that is allegedly from the morning when the sun comes up.
Did you see the cemetery?
No, I haven't seen the cemetery yet. But what is destroyed is the parking lot. The pavers are going to need replaced out there in that parking lot of the hospital. And the car insurance company is taking a big hit.
I know a guy who can fix those cars.
So... those cars are pretty rough shape.
Yeah.
So you see cars.
It's got good bones, though.
There's some shingles off the roof.
I try not to make jokes, but I can't help it.
I mean, no doubt people died here, but this is what it actually looks like. The building was not hit. The building took some damage. There's some blurred out stuff there. Okay, so some windows blown out, stuff like that. But that's the part that I wasn't exactly ready for, was not only were we not arguing or needing to figure out whether or not it was Israel who bombed the hospital or Hamas who bombed the hospital, but was the hospital bombed?
Let's start there.
That was the next part.
Yeah.
And immediately after, you know, Hamas or Palestine releases this figure of 500 people are dead at this hospital, doctors, you know, nurses, stuff like that.
1,000 children.
You know, yeah, that other person said, who knows how many, and then you get the pictures. Like, this is what it looks like outside the hospital where whatever this was actually dropped. Now, at this point, there was a picture of a crater that I guess maybe I didn't save up here. There was a picture of the crater with the parking lot. You could tell it was a crater in the parking lot. And the crater was not big enough to be a JDAM if you compared it to other alleged craters created by JDAM bombs. So it looks like the story of a rocket misfiring is true. It then also looks like it did not hit the hospital directly. It hit the parking lot of the hospital directly. And something exploded out there. Could have been a tank of fuel, because I heard they've been trying to send fuel to the hospitals to keep their generators going. Something like that. Scott Horton mentioned that the fiery was all red and you know, looked different. So
it could have been a falling missile, even.
Could have been.
Yeah.
And now we'll just look at this report from Sky News now to kind of clear some of this up for us.
Big fireball there within the grounds of the hospital. The missile seems to have landed in the car park. Over the course of the night, other images have emerged and quite a lot more evidence. The Israelis are putting a lot of their material out there. Of course, they don't have the missile itself. That belongs to Hamas, as it were, and if you could get a look at the missile, the fragments of it, then you'd tell a lot about where it came from. But here's the image in the day, and there you can see, that's where the missile hit. There's the crater, not particularly big. There are the vehicles that were absolutely completely destroyed by the missile, but here are the other vehicles that were burned out. This doesn't look like a huge explosion, and one wonders how the death toll could be quite so high. If people were all camped out in the car park, it's plausible, certainly, but that number still sounds pretty high. Looking at these images, plus what the Israelis have indicated, does seem to increase the likelihood that this was a missile off track, probably not an Israeli missile, more likely, as they say, to be a Palestinian Islamic Jihad missile, because a whole series of missiles were launched at that time, and they've got evidence of that, and one of them seems to have gone down into the car park here. But what is interesting about this image from a purely technical point of view is the relatively limited damage to the cars, most of which are still in their original car parking spaces.
We're going to continue with, I know it seems self-serving, but it is. That's why it seems that way. We're going to continue with what we believe is the proper way to approach a confusing situation like this, but where you have multiple sides saying different things. And this is how people in the media should do it on Free Talk Live.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. teamg'day.com. teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. The U.S. has issued a warning to Iran, urging them not to escalate the conflict between Israel and Hamas.
Iran has supported Hamas and other groups that continue to carry out attacks on Israel. Iranian leaders have routinely threatened to wipe Israel off the map.
During his address to the U.N. Security Council's Secretary of State Antony Blinken, stated that the U.S. will respond firmly if Iran or its proxies carry out attacks on U.S. personnel in the Middle East. Majority Whip Tom Emmer has entered his speakership bid after he, too, failed to unite the House GOP. That's according to two people familiar with the situation. Car payments have reached their highest rates in decades, with over 6% of subprime borrowers characterized by lower credit scores and higher interest rates being more than 60 days overdue on their auto loans in September. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's up? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We've been going through our coverage of the hospital parking lot bombing that happened in Gaza last week. And as I said before we started the last segment, it's important that this is how you approach situations. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't just think that you know exactly what happened, because you might not. And that's generally how we approach everything, especially when it comes to war, because the fog of war is a real thing. If you enjoy the things that you're hearing, we'll also be getting on to some other stuff as well at the end of this segment. But if you're enjoying what you're hearing, then make sure you go find Good Morning Liberty, which is our daily podcast. Find Good Morning Liberty wherever you get your podcast. You can go to BernieLies.com. And that'll take you to whatever link you need to go. Or you can watch us. We record the video every day. You can go to YouTube or Rumble or Odyssey. But let's get back into this segment about the hospital bombing.
No evident damage to the buildings. Clearly, a lot of people were killed and injured in this explosion, but it doesn't look like, as it were, the mass explosion inside a hospital that it was made out to be last night. That doesn't detract, of course, from the damage it's doing, but a lot more of this imagery and evidence, I think, will emerge during the day. We'll only ever have a probability about this, because the Israelis can't definitively prove that it wasn't one of their missiles, but they've produced quite a lot of circumstances. Substantial evidence, and of course Hamas will always claim definitively that it was an Israeli missile, and we'll see what evidence they choose to produce.
Okay, there we go. So the lesson to take away from this, I think, is that you have to wait and not rush to judgment on things when it's not exactly clear what happened. And that's a lesson that I think Rashida Tlaib should take, and many, many other people that I saw online last night talking about this war crime and bombing a hospital and all that. And that That does not excuse anything that we've said. We're, you know, disagreeing with this war or the way that it's being carried out or whatever. It's just these single instances that happened during the war can be like inflection points for other things happening, like other countries getting involved, or you have massive protests that erupt and let's say innocent civilians or civilians get killed in a protest in the West Bank, or you have people that are trying to storm these different embassies around the world and something bad happens there. And so then we decide that we're going to get involved there because of what happened in Lebanon or wherever else it was that was going on. So when you see the people rushing to judgment and then rushing to storm and the protest, it just really kind of shows me that we should wait and that we should try to verify things. And there's really no reason to take Hamas's word over Israel. And you do have to remember that you shouldn't just trust either one of them all the time. Like, we don't trust either one of them all the time, but there is a group of people who just trust Hamas or Palestinian authorities all the time. And that's not right either. They all have an incentive to lie. They've all got an incentive to get you on their side and fighting for their cause. And so that's why I tweeted this out yesterday, which I just wanted to make the point. I tweeted this out that when something bad happens in a war, it's best to assume that both sides are lying and repeal the 16th Amendment. So I think that that's the lesson to take away from this. Now, why did I say repeal the 16th Amendment? One, it was kind of funny. And also, two, we need to defund the war machine. And that's where they get all of their money. So I am serious about that, that you need to remember that in these wars where these sides are fighting against each other, that we don't need to be involved. We don't need to rush to judgment on any of these things. And we need to make the government work for our money rather than making us work for the government.
Mm-hmm.
So that, as they say, is that. And as someone, a lot of comments in the group right now, the major, a lot of major news sources did seem to pick the Palestinian side. Now they were, you know, even BBC would say, you know, we haven't confirmed this, but they, you know, they kept playing that eyewitness account over and over again. Now it's an eyewitness account. I don't trust eyewitness accounts. If I were ever on a murder trial and there were an eyewitness account, I would completely black out while the person was talking because there's no reason to have that mush filling up my mind. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, the data on eyewitnesses is pretty bleak.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Really, really bad stuff.
Well, actually, the data's good. But what turns out to be true, pretty bleak.
But the problem here is that it's too late. That's one of the bigger problems. Like, we can sit here and prove this now, but for the people that are on the ground in Gaza or wherever else it is in the West Bank or in Lebanon or wherever they are, it's too late for many of them because they're not going to get the information, especially if they're in Gaza, because the only information they're going to get is word of mouth information. Someone would have to listen to this episode and then explain it, trying their hardest to explain it as well as we just did, which they would fail at doing that. And then they wouldn't be able to convince people otherwise. So that's the problem. It's too late. The sides have already been picked. The propaganda's already gone out. And people are going to act according to yesterday's news reports. So even people who follow Rashida Tlaib, there will be a portion of those people who are never going to hear what actually happened. And even if they did hear it, they would probably deny it because it would be too hard for them to admit, or they would probably turn around and say, yeah, but they've bombed hospitals before, you know, they've committed war crimes before. And so then it wouldn't matter to them anyway, which they'd be partially right about, but they would just be trying to deflect from talking about how they were wrong in this situation. So anyhow, that's the story so far of the hospital bombing. And now a couple white pills before we,
well, the hospital parking lot bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a hospital property bombing.
Yeah. The car park.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he kept
what
saying.
Happened.
The car park. It's got car park.
Okay. One more thing. It does connect to Israel, but we'll call it a white pill because this is something we decided to talk about like on Tuesday after this whole mess started was whether or not people were able to defend themselves. And so, Charlie, you can do this one.
This is from Reason. Israel eases gun restrictions amidst security failures. So in the wake of Hamas terrorist organization's murderous attack on Israel, the country's government is admitting, not for the first time, that even Israel's extensive security apparatus can't be everywhere to protect everyone. Under the pressure of bloody events, officials are again making it easier for civilians to acquire and carry firearms for self-defense.
Okay.
Who would have thought?
Weird.
Quote, today I directed the Firearms Licensing Division to go on an emergency operation in order to allow as many citizens as possible to arm themselves, announced National Security Minister. His name,
yeah. Yeah,
he's a National Security Minister, Minister for Israel.
Yeah, he administers national security. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Quote, the plan will take effect within 24 hours, so don't get shot.
Mm-hmm. And the next day. Mm-hmm.
By no means does the order eliminate the country's tight restrictions on guns.
The plan will take effect in the next winter. Now, I get it, but it's like it takes a day to stop preventing people from arming themselves, you know? Like you got to wind down. All you got to do is stop stopping.
Yeah. And as soon as this threat is over, we're going right back. Yeah. Okay?
Sorry, white pill.
But it is an acknowledgement that too many Israelis were caught with limited access to the means of self-defense when Hamas terrorists crossed the border from Gaza and attacked civilians. So, and see, this is the problem. It's now like 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
So, the terrorists had 2 weeks to come in and do some damage before you could protect yourself.
You know, what's crazy is if they relaxed like all the restrictions and everyone in Israel had a gun, and you look at this like 10 years later, it's going to be, because it's hard to research things if it takes more than 10 seconds. Well, anti-gun activists would say, well, Israel, every person in Israel has a gun and they got attacked by Hamas and over 1,000 people were killed. So what are you talking about? So what I'm saying is you wouldn't be able to tell the 2 week difference in the legalization of gun ownership when researching from 10 years in the future, unless you keep digging and keep digging. This is how these things happen.
Yeah. So relying on a steel door, the terrorists were moving from one house to another, trying to kill us. This guy told the Telegraph, an Israeli guy, quote, they knocked on our doors and pretended to be Israeli soldiers. We locked our house. We stayed in our safe room. It has a steel door and very thick bulletproof walls. It is only this that has kept us safe from death. One of his friends had a gun and he managed to escape and join other men who were trying to defend our village. That friend wasn't alone among the civilian population, as the IDF were caught flat-footed and scrambled to catch up with events. With the IDF's division headquarters under attack, it was almost impossible for the chief of staff in Tel Aviv to find out what was going on or how to respond in those crucial early hours of the assault. You see, when there's restrictions on guns and then your government's under attack, it's on the list of priorities to unrestrict,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get people access to be able to defend themselves. Like, you know, it's not one thing that really...
Well, see...
It's not like they can just pull a lever, like an emergency lever, and then all of a sudden the gun restrictions are lifted.
And then a gun show pops up all of a sudden, and you get to go exploit the loophole.
Exactly. Yeah,
they open up the loopholes, you know.
It's like a firearm lever, you know.
Loophole.
Loophole.
Open.
That just, and there's a pop-up
open
gun
the
show.
Loopholes! So,
sir, there's a delay. There's a delay in opening the loopholes.
I wanted to make this point that when people say, well, how are you going to protect yourself if your guns are taken away or you can't have a gun? They say, well, the police are here to protect you or the IDF is here to protect you. And what Hamas did first was you saw those videos. They drove straight up to the police station and started attacking the police. And so what's the natural thing that the police are going to do? They're going to be like, oh, crap, I bet other people's houses are in danger right now. Like, no, they're going to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And so they're busy defending themselves.
Were they dodging bullets?
You know?
Is that...
Like, oh, I got to get to other people's house
right.
real quick. There's bullets whistling
it's my
by.
My duty to protect other
like,
people.
No, they're bogged down defending themselves. And so that was smart on the part of Hamas. And then they're attacking IDF. And then so they're all busy right now. And so while they're busy, they also go door to door killing people at will because most of them don't have guns. Only 3% of people in Israel have guns. And one of the worst places was the Israeli kibbutz, which I'm still betting, have not verified, that this commune probably did not have super high gun ownership. I could be wrong on that. I don't know.
Well, considering how many people died.
Like a lot of them.
Yes.
Big percentage.
Yeah. Trained citizens who hold weapons contribute to the feeling of security.
Oh, we don't have to keep going on this. Sorry, that's why I didn't scroll down.
No.
Unless you want to.
No, I'm just...
No, keep... He's like Ron Burgundy. You put anything on the teleprompter, like he'll just...
Israel's security cabinet has approved measures to make it easier for Israelis to carry guns after two separate attacks by Palestinians in Jerusalem over the past 2 days. The BBC reported that in January. So,
they made it easier, I guess.
They should just allow people to defend themselves. This is why the Second Amendment is so important. This is why we talk about these things that we talk about. You know, in times of peace, people want to restrict your access, but you never know when you're going to see paragliders, whatever, coming across the ocean trying to attack you.
So the white pill here, the takeaway from this, and Reason gets the white pill correct also, they are, by doing this, they are acknowledging that the people should have more guns so they can defend themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they are trying to ease restrictions because they are recognizing that what people needed in this situation were guns to defend themselves instead of just being sitting ducks the whole time,
yeah,
which is what they ended up being. So that is a good thing, at least for our arguments, not good for the people who needed this a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And it sucks that it has to be proven out this way. Like, people have to die for you to prove the point.
Hey, let's do something not political real quick. You know, we used to talk about like medical advancements and modern science, you know, cool stuff like that.
Yeah, white pill.
Let's break away from the politics for a second. And let's talk about this woman who's become the first human to be fitted with a nerve and bone fused bionic limb.
So Terminator is here.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking about. I'm glad that you caught that. There you go.
There it is.
We got it in the group already.
So
you can see in this picture, now there's no video in this article, she's using a tiny screwdriver to turn a screw on what I'm assuming is something fake that just has screws on it for her to practice turning screws.
It's a practice screw turning toy.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I give it a 10 out of 10 for creativity, 1 out of 10 for its, you know, ability to not be creepy. But they did put like a glove on it that doesn't just look, you know, straight up like Terminator or anything. But this is awesome. A Swedish woman named Karen. See, complaining will get you somewhere. Okay. She's been complaining to the manager of extremities. And here she is, being the first human to get this bionic hand.
They say the squeaky wheel gets the
attention.
That's
how it is.
You know?
That's how it is. A Swedish woman named Karen has become the first. It's Karen with an I, by the way. K-A-R-I-N, just so you know. Has become the first person to ever receive a below-the-elbow prosthetic that fuses bone with metal and electrodes. An incredible feat of robotics and biology, it's seen to represent an eventual gold standard of prosthesis that has encouraged the interdisciplinary science team to believe it will be available to other amputees and other circumstances in the future. So, I don't know. It's cool. You know, Charlie, your dad, he doesn't have any legs. It'd be cool if this were available back when that happened. You know, could have legs eventually.
Yeah, now you
actually, technically, right now, he would just have hands on his legs because I'm sure that's only as far as they've gone.
Yeah.
But I just like that they're trying stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the future, amputees are just going to be able to get body parts put back on. Okay? That's cool.
That is cool.
That's a cool thing.
That is really cool.
Makes you not feel so bad for blowing them up overseas. You know?
Eventually, when we're all just robots.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
We've got Neuralink. You have your bionic arm. All kinds of stuff.
I think all you need is a human brain, and then you just build everything else. Right?
Yeah, sorry. I mean, sorry for throwing non-white pills in there. My bad. in that description. But hey, it's the best time to be alive. You know, the better time to be alive is probably like 50 years from now. Probably be even better.
Mm.
Okay. We might still be here. We'll see. With advances in modern science.
Mm. I don't know if I want to be.
We'll see.
But we'll see.
We'll see if we'll still be here. All right, let's get on to this one that was really cool. I'm sure a lot of people in the group have already seen it, but I would like for Charlie and I to laugh together while watching this like we did yesterday, the first time that we saw it. This is Pierre Poilievre.
I don't speak French.
I believe is how you say his last name. From what I can tell, he's going to be trying to take on Justin.
You know, you took French a couple of years
ago. I did. Two semesters.
Oh.
So one year
but
of French.
But the way that we did our semesters is 2 years.
I've learned more Spanish on Duolingo than I did French in two semesters of French.
Mm.
So.
And you can't pronounce his name.
Well, I don't know how he says it. Okay, he's getting interviewed by a journalist. This kind of reminds me of...
This guy's running for prime minister, by the way.
This is that... it reminds me of that time Elon Musk got interviewed by the journalist and kind of pulled the same thing. This is a great way to handle people when they're trying to get you to defend baseless claims or to defend things from their point of view and from their reality, from their moral high ground. Just this is him taking the moral high ground, flipping the script, and making them the one that is wrong. And he is the one that's on the moral high ground. They're crazy, not him. And by the way, if you haven't seen the video, the dude is eating an apple while he is making one of my favorite videos of 2023.
Relaxed as can be.
I know. It's so great. I want to be this guy when I grow up.
On the topic, I mean, in terms of your sort of strategy currently, you're obviously taking the populist pathway.
What does that mean?
Well, appealing to people's more emotional levels, I would guess. I mean, certainly you tap very strong ideological language quite frequently.
Like what?
Left wing, you know, this and that, right wing. That type of ideological thing.
I never really talk about left
but
or right.
Anyways,
really believe in that.
Okay, a lot of people would say that you're simply taking a page out of the Donald Trump book.
Like which people would say that?
Well, I'm sure a great many Canadians, but
like who?
I don't know who, but.
Ask the question, so yeah. Oh, you must know somebody.
Okay, I'm sure there's some out there, but anyways, the point of this question is, I mean, why should Canadians trust you with their vote, given, you know, not just the sort of ideological inclination in terms of taking the page of Donald Trump's book, but
what are you
also
talking about? What page? Can you give me a page? Give me the page. You keep saying
in terms of turning things quite dramatically in terms of Trudeau. And the left wing and all of this. I mean, you make quite a, you know, it's quite a play that you make on it. So I'm
not sure. I don't know what your question is.
Okay, then forget that. Why should Canadians trust you with their vote?
Common sense. Okay. Common sense for a change. We're going to make common sense common in this country. We don't have any common sense in the current government. You know, the guy prints $600 billion, grows our money supply by 32% in 3 years. That's growing the money 8 times faster than the economy. No wonder we have the worst inflation in 4 decades. I'm going to cap spending, cut waste so that we can balance the budget and bring down inflation and interest rates. You'll want to be able to pay your mortgage again? You want to be able to afford rent? Then you have to vote for Pierre Poilievre, because I'm the only one with a common sense plan that will bring back the buying power of your paycheck.
Okay, that's pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
It is.
What I really like about this, and we've talked about this a bunch of times, he completely, like I said beforehand, he completely flips the moral high ground. This guy tries to come to him with this, you're compared to Donald Trump, you're a populist candidate, you're turning up the heat and the rhetoric and all that. And he completely flips the moral high ground, becomes the one who's right. This guy's asking him crazy questions. He doesn't need, you see, they try to get you to defend yourself. They try to get you to defend your ideas as if you're wrong and they're the one who's right. And he completely flips it I don't have to defend this. First off, what are you even talking about? And then he gets to get his thing in there at the end of it, like the inflation. And he does a great job of selling himself. You want to be able to pay your mortgage. You want to be able to do this. You know, you're going to vote for Pierre Poilievre. That's how he said his own last name at the end of that video. So just remember, now this guy, I'm not, before I completely link us with him, this is a great video. I don't know everything about this guy. I don't know what all of his policies are. I would suspect we disagree on many things, probably a lot of things. But
like we do Canadians.
Yes, in general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have the moral high ground, and we have, in my opinion, ceded that to the other side and shouldn't do that. Remember, when you're getting attacked for these views or whatever, you're the one who's right. Like, we know that. You don't have to defend the fact that people own themselves and shouldn't just be controlled by people with guns.
Well, and the other key thing here is you make people be specific, okay, when they make these, like, overarching claims, like, well, people are saying that, you know, you do this. It's like, who?
Mm-hmm.
Who's saying it? Give me an example. You know, don't try to defend, like, a broad, baseless claim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make the person prove their point. And then when he got down to something specific, he actually at the very beginning, he's like, well, I don't even believe in left versus right.
Mm-hmm.
So that can't be true. Then you can much easier. It's much easier to defend yourself.
Well, because he destroyed the basis of every one of the guy's questions.
Yes. You know? And then you can tell the interviewer gets real nervous.
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, no. Coming up, we're going to be doing Dumb Bleep of the Week. That's everyone's favorite segment, so you don't want to miss it. That's where we count down the dumbest things that happened in politics over the last week. And our live group, the Fed Haters Club, join GML.com. They vote on the dumbest thing for Dumb Bleep of the Week. That's coming right up.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.